Well, in a way, Thanksgiving becomes like all the good parts about your childhood distilled into one thing, right? You get great food. You are given the space to act like a full-on idiot. You see extended family and cousins you haven't seen in a long
Everyone
time.
Everyone loves you and they're excited to see you.
Exactly.
And
you try your first beer in the backyard. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Gideon's 5, so I'm hoping this is the year.
Yeah,
if I got anything to do with it, it will be.
Yeah. Hey, dads and non-dads. Welcome to the Hey Dad podcast. This is a podcast where three brothers.
Hey.
And one guy who wishes he was our brother.
Hey.
Talk about dad stuff.
And sometimes non-dad stuff.
We felt like the portrayal of dads in pop culture didn't reflect us or our friends very well, so we decided to start a podcast to talk about what dad life is really like for us. On today's episode, we talk about Thanksgiving with kids, how you can be a part of testing the new Hey Dad boxes, and a new segment called Storytime. Let's get into it.
Okay, Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the best. You eat, you take a nap, you eat some more. Mm-hmm. It's basically the recipe for the perfect holiday. We had Thanksgiving food at our wedding. Like, big fan of Thanksgiving over here, but I obviously don't want to speak for all of us. What about you guys? Like, growing up, Thanksgiving, good thing, bad thing? Somewhere between.
I growing up, I don't remember Thanksgiving being a huge deal. But I do, as I've gotten older, come to have so much. Like, I think Thanksgiving is probably my list of like top five favorite things, like across the board. And it's probably like a mixture of being like totally food motivated, like I am. Like I
food motivated is a great term. Like I've never heard 100%. It before, but it'd be a great like. How would you describe yourself? Well, I'm food motivated.
That's how we refer to our dog. So and Derek.
Yeah, thank you. I love turkey. More importantly, I love stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I go to anybody's Thanksgiving thing, my immediate first reaction is I want to know what kind of stuffing did you make. Let's talk about it. Just put raisins in it.
Okay, I was going to say, are you guys like a stuffing inside the turkey, then you pull it out family? Is stuffing a separate deal?
No, we never did that. And it was really strange to realize that people actually still did that.
Yeah, that weirds me out. My favorite thing was making like the ultimate plate of food. And like, you know, all the proportions are right. Just because you eat with your eyes first. And so, and then it was, it got to the point where Kevin didn't want the plate that he had. So I was assigned to make him a plate and also me a plate, but then also his plate needed to be like a little bit better than my plate, even though I made them both. And then he'll feel really good about his Thanksgiving.
And Andy has done this every year for like 8 years.
Wait, you're telling me that Andy makes your plate for you?
Every single Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Out of the goodness of his heart? Because hold something over him. Because
he's the best brother ever.
It started with me, you know, Kevin was in line first, made his plate, and then I made my plate, and Kevin was just about to take a bite of his, and then he's like, wait, but yours looks better, even though it's the same exact ingredients.
It's kind of like a patronage system where Kevin sees this as Andrew's true art form and he wants to provide a way for him to be able to do it more.
I'm the Medici of the Thanksgiving table. And Andy
I'm
is
the Michelangelo.
My
oh, yeah.
No, either one. They both work. Medici's patrons for a long time.
Okay. All right.
Leonardo da
Vinci. I was just
Turkey.
Going with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes.
No. Can I ask you guys do you guys eat cranberry sauce?
No.
Yeah, see, that to me is the weirdest thing. Whenever I see somebody spooning out cranberry sauce, I go, well, you are pre-World War II, clearly. Like, it's such like an old thing.
And also, it's just like I would have taken jam.
Yeah.
It's basically like I would take part of this peanut butter and jelly, and I'm going to put it on. And it doesn't.
There's something about the impression of the can in the lump of sauce.
And the
also
noise it makes as it's coming out, the like...
Yeah. Whoa.
That was pretty good.
Derek, I'm so glad you brought up cranberry sauce because... I'm going to talk about that a little later.
Can't wait. Oh. All right. Also, a great thing I like Brussels sprouts.
Same.
I like Brussels sprouts, and I will eat so many Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, you roast those bad boys?
You know what's weird?
I roast them up with bacon on them.
They're phenomenal.
I think Brussels sprouts have one of the highest smells like fart to taste amazing ratios in the food kingdom.
Yeah, you're like, this is going to be disgusting. Oh,
like
so
the smell
good.
To taste like imbalance. Uh-huh. Brussels sprouts has to be like at the top of the chain.
I was going to say, when you said one of the highest smells like fart to taste amazing ratios, are there other things on that
broccoli,
list?
Broccoli, cauliflower. Basically, I think they're probably all related.
Cauliflower doesn't smell bad, does it?
In the like best hair, most popular. Is that how you were described in the yearbook?
Best hair, most yeah. My superlative. Like my superlative was most likely to smell like fart. So, as an uncle, I can say that our family's experience of just like family gatherings, holidays, obviously changes, like total game changer when you bring kids into the picture, and it's awesome. It's just different. How as dads, how is your guys' experience different with kids?
Well, this is going to be the first one, and I'm already not looking forward to not just being able to just like selfishly eat my own plate as fast as I want to like have to like actually also feed my son.
And I'm thankful you're being honest about this.
I'm already going like, oh man, he's going to need to eat too. And I just want to be really selfish right now.
So I remember our first Thanksgiving with kids. So Gideon born November 22nd, and I believe Thanksgiving that year was like the 26th or the 27th, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it checks out.
And
he says, Derek's, pantomime typing on the table right
Derek's
now.
Derek's the rain man here. So a few days after Gideon was born, Andy proposed to Sarah. Mm-hmm. And he did it outdoors at night in November. And granted, we live in California, so it's not bad. But it was like 45 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. And there was this general expectation that, like, you need to be there. And not just expectation. We wanted to be there. But I remember that was the first moment where I was already like, oh, this is so different. Mm-hmm. Because what I wanted to be was fully present in this, like, emotional family moment. And what all I was doing was like, okay, it's cold. Let me feel Gideon's nose. Okay. Because a three-day-old baby and yeah. It's our first baby, like, we're way too paranoid.
It's an exposed heart that you're holding.
Where I'm just like, oh no, he's gonna die if he's outside. Yeah, this is it. And then like that next day, my dad and mom really wanted to go take family pictures outside, and it was still like in the 40s, and we were outside taking photos. And I remember my parents, by the way, my parents, the best. This moment, not the best. Where my dad was like, can you just take Gideon out of this? Because we had him like wrapped in this blanket. Can you just take Gideon out of the blanket for like a few minutes while we take photos? And Trisha like under her breath was just like, no. And so then I had to be like, no, we're just going to leave him in. But she was looking at my dad like, are you trying to kill my son?
He was basically the little brother from Christmas Story who's like, yeah, starfish. And he's I can't move my arms.
I think the other thing that changes about Thanksgiving when you have a kid is earlier you guys were talking or you describing your Thanksgiving experience and you mentioned taking a nap. And like, we always like had Thanksgiving in like very crowded houses where no one can just sit down and take a nap. And now that we have our own house and their own Thanksgiving, the idea of me sitting down and taking a nap while my wife deals with her two wailing banshees of children. But I just think about how, like, the idea of just being able to take a break from your day and just having a nap on the couch, not going to... Now, do you take a nap?
No.
Yeah, right? Okay.
I have
okay.
three kids. I'm not going to be like, babe, happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to go take a nap.
Don't you feel like that we know people who would do that?
Yeah, we know people that are selfish dads. 100%.
It's just hitting me that I can't do that, and I'm really bummed.
Oh, you do.
Because I was kind of thinking, like, I could, because there's just one kid, but that is a jerk move.
No, but you could take a nap with him. See, that's the thing. He goes down, you go down. Well, you say, oh, go put David down. That's what you should do. That's the move.
All right. That's what I'll try.
You know, so, guys, I'll take a nap for the four of us. I got
and
you.
And honestly,
I got you,
you
fam.
Go get yours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You strike me as a dude who naps a whole lot.
One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot, actually going into this Thanksgiving, is I've been thinking about why I love Thanksgiving now, or the ideal Thanksgiving for this season of life for me. And it involves a lot of like adult conversation, and I'm going to watch football. Maybe I'm going to take a nap. That's what my ideal Thanksgiving would be. My kids' ideal Thanksgiving at the ages of 5, 4, and 1.5 are going to look nothing like that. Like, that ideal Thanksgiving that I just described sounds super boring to them. Mm-hmm. And part of what I want to make sure that I can get ahead of is to say, I don't want to spend my whole Thanksgiving resenting you for wanting something different out of this day than I want. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for getting in the way of the ideal Thanksgiving that I don't get to have anymore, or that I can't have the purest form of as I used to have. And what's been helpful for me in thinking through that is remembering it's my kids' Thanksgiving too, and to try to set up circumstances, whether it's like a kids' table where they're allowed to be louder, or like
let them eat their meal as quick as they want to eat it and be done with it and like go play in the backyard and go just set up an environment where they can win and where I'm not going to be like resenting them for stepping on my Thanksgiving and instead trying to be like, how do I make sure you have an amazing Thanksgiving? And, you know, I can get the things that I need out of this holiday. Cause sometimes I feel like for me with a moment like this that I idealize and I get excited about, if all I do is sort of idealize it, but I don't plan for a way that my kids can be a part of that idealization in my head in a way that's realistic, then I end up just resenting them and I'm disciplining them for things they don't need to be disciplined for. And I'm having the opposite of the holiday that I wanted to have. And in that moment, I feel like it's my kids' fault. But then afterwards, I'm like, that's completely on you for having unfair expectations and not setting them up to win. And so I don't know. I think that's what I want to do this year is just make sure, like, what do we need to bring? What toys do we need to bring? What rules do we need to bend on this day that, like, will make it so that you can have a great day and, you know, and I can have the Thanksgiving I want to have.
Well, so this is going to almost kind of sound a little bit maudlin, and I don't mean for it to be that way, but, like, so this is our first Thanksgiving that's coming up without my dad.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and instead of, like, sitting down and just being like, oh, yeah, Thanksgiving without dad, I've been thinking about, like, the specific things about Thanksgiving with my dad. And my dad was, like, a character, and he was a little bit crazy. And think about the things that, like, I'm not going to get to experience again and I'm going to miss. And I boil it down to two very specific things. One, I've already expressed earlier that stuffing is my favorite food. The man would make stuffing in muffin tins. Call them stuffing muffins, and he would overcook the hell out of them, and they were so bad. And Dad, you're up in heaven right now listening to this, and I'm sorry, but they were so bad. And we would just kind of have to, it's this open thing, like, yeah, Dad brought the stuffing muffin.
Act like you like trademark it.
And he would constantly be like, hey, did you try a stuffing muffin? You're like, yeah, let me, you know. And like somebody would always make like another batch of stuffing, like real stuffing. That wasn't in muffin tins.
And do you feel like you have to have like a little bit of each?
Well, a little bit of one and then go to frickin' town on the real stuffing without your dad noticing. That's first thing I'm going to miss. Miss stuffed muffins.
Are you going to make stuffing muffins?
No, I want real stuffing. I want good stuffing. I'm going to overcook it on purpose. This one's for you, Dad.
this bad stuffing is for you.
I ruined this dish.
Pour one out.
Second thing I'm going to miss is we'd always go to my grandparents' house in Merced, and they always had like a TV on with like the football game. And, you know, they always had like a halftime show. And I'm talking 10 years running. No matter who the halftime show was, it was almost always like a country artist or Pitbull. One of the two. No matter what, my dad would watch approximately like 15 seconds of it, and he would go, who's this idiot? And he would just rip it, and we'd always go like, Dad, in what universe are you going to enjoy the halftime show on Thanksgiving? Like, if they ever get Steely Dan or Billy Joel to play halftime, then maybe you will be like, all right, here we go. Ray Charles and Steely, here we go. But it would be like, Jason Aldean, who's this guy? I'm like, Dad, this isn't for you. But it'd never fail. And I almost feel like he would get up in the morning and be like, well, I got some pretty solid burns for whoever's doing the halftime yeah. show.
He's like, I can't wait to crap on whoever's singing at halftime.
Are you going to take up that mantle?
Yeah, I think that actually is something I will probably
do. You kind
do.
Of feel like the natural heir to crapping on someone else's musical taste.
Can't wait. I feel like I have to do it.
The other thing with Thanksgiving is like the literal purpose of the holiday is to take a day and be thankful. And one of the things that I would hope that as a dad I can instill in my kids is like a lifestyle of gratitude, and that it's not just like one day a year where you remember how great your life is, because my kids' lives are freaking incredible. So I don't know, like what have you guys done to try to raise grateful kids?
That's hard. Because I feel like the natural pull of, I would say any kid's personality is complaint, right? Like they naturally would go towards what they don't have. And like, even we went through this last weekend with Atlee.
I mean, not even just kids, like that's just like people.
In general, right? Yeah. The human response is complaint. We surprised Atlee like with a trip to Disneyland and didn't tell her until we actually got there. And it's this huge thing. And then from that point, within 4 hours, she was complaining that we wouldn't buy her a specific set of mini ears. I don't say I have to like crap on my kid and be like, yeah, she's a real piece of garbage. But I'm like, the idea that like, that at no time are we ever truly satisfied with our lot in life. And like, I'm noticing that in my girls in those very small but perceptible ways, you know, that, you know, wow, we just drove your butt to Anaheim overnight and surprised you.
Yeah, you went to sleep in the car and you woke up at Disneyland.
Literally, that's how
and you
it
have
happened.
No idea how much work that was for me and your mom.
But you, there's almost like this grander scale at play where you realize like, well, how much of that is, I would say that I've had to learn to kind of like be grateful and kind of like, kind of cultivate that a little bit.
Practice that.
It is a practice thing. And I'm still at a point, and luckily our girls are still young enough where I don't think that like any like indelible damage is being done to them. Nah, who knows? Maybe not. But like the idea of like, man, at a certain point, I want them to see us being grateful a lot. Cause I think that kind of stuff is caught and not taught. I'm giving my TED talk now, by the way. I hope you guys like it. But I kind of feel like when we model
TEDx Merced,
what if I told you that the JCPenney's is a great place to buy chain wallets? But we want to model gratitude. And I think every day and Thanksgiving's a great opportunity for us to actually talk about it. And that's something that we've started doing at the end of every single day, you know, over dinner is going around the table. And there's only three of us who can talk and talking about what the best part of your day is. And we want you to start thinking about the really good times and recognizing that every single day you're forced to choose from several different moments that could qualify as the best part of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And like that to me is more than just engaging her. It's actually like teaching her, like, start recognizing that you have a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's that discipline of gratitude that you were just talking about. Like it's a practice. Like it's a frame of mind where I'm going to choose to dwell on the things that I have to be thankful for instead of choosing to dwell on the things that I don't have that I wish I had. And I think the point you're making, which I could not agree with more, is like, there's not this like, well, I don't know, maybe there is. There's not this tactic that I know where it's like, if you just do this one thing with your kids, you're going to raise grateful kids. It's like, the thing is, you have to be grateful people in front of your kids.
One thing that Kel and I have only like just started to experience, and I imagine is like 1,000 times crazier with kids, is the whole navigating multiple Thanksgivings thing with in-laws and both sides of the family, and especially having rad kids like you guys have where everyone wants to see your kids. Like, how do you guys do that?
Yeah, I think the hard thing is, I know some people are a part of families that are a little dysfunctional or manipulative or guilt trippy or whatever. And I can't speak to that because both sides of our family are really cool. We our problem is just basically that like everybody wants to see us and wants to see our kids and loves us and like would take as much time with us as they can get. Yeah. And so I think one of the things we've just sort of had to make peace with is like, well, we just can't make everyone perfectly happy because I can imagine this now, like looking way down the road, but like I get all of Gideon and Julian and Josie's special moments, but then I'm looking at my parents and they're like, they don't get all of them anymore. And like, that's probably super hard. And they also don't get all of the special moments of their grandkids that they love.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just,
it's kind of like until everybody is in the living room that we're not really having Thanksgiving yet. Yeah. So yeah, it's like, I will probably arrive with my kids later than you wanted me to leave, later than you wanted me to arrive. And I'm going to leave probably earlier than you wanted me to, because we're trying to navigate all these different things and show up at these different places.
I will say one thing about Thanksgiving or any family gathering, especially if you're like the only one with kids, or you have the most kids in my situation, that is just an unabashed, unqualified positive, is you can leave earlier than everyone and do way less cleanup than everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And I would just encourage anybody to lean way into that. Just be like, I'm sorry, and like even cause a meltdown. Like, you know, you look at the rising dishes and then you just let it happen. You just let it happen and you're like, I'm so sorry, but we have to go. So, as you may know, this Hey Dad podcast is a part of this larger Hey Dad thing we're doing, which is a monthly subscription experience for dads and young kids, where every month we send you like a couple hours of fun that you're going to have with your kid. And the phase we're in right now is we are beta testing with a bunch of families with dads and kids. And so Derek's been a beta tester. I have a bunch of other friends that are being beta testers, but now we're in a phase where we would love to get some beta testers that we don't know, because some of the friends we know sort of struggle to give us constructive feedback. Derek is a troll and only craps on things that I know he actually likes.
Why would you say this?
So what we're hoping is that we can get some of you to become Hey Dad beta testers. So what's going to happen is you're going to go to heydad.com. You're going to sign up for our email list. You automatically get this email that sort of tells you, hey, if you want to be a beta tester, here's what you do. And then we will send you a Hey Dad box, and then you'll play with it and you'll review it with your kids. And then you might get a phone call from me, you might get an email from me. But we're trying to refine this thing so that by the time we launch, we've had a bunch of feedback from a bunch of different types of dads, a bunch of different types of kids. And we've got something that works really well for everyone. So go to heydad.com, sign up for our email list, and follow the prompts. And maybe you'll be a Hey Dad beta tester.
Maybe you'll be accused of being a troll.
Maybe I'll make fun of you on the podcast if your feedback is really bad. All right, so we're going to close with a new segment we're calling Storytime. As dads, we have to tell a lot of stories. We have to make up a lot of stories on the spot. And a lot of times they are, if I'm just speaking from personal experience, rushed. The plot is a thinly veiled metaphor for why I want my kids to go to bed right now. And they're just not, they're not full of nuance. They're not funny. They're not good stories. But as human beings, we love a good story. And from time to time, we're just going to bring you a story that we think is really funny and worth telling. So today we've got Tyler telling us a horror story about Thanksgiving. Go ahead, Ty.
So this year, I'm actually a little nervous about Thanksgiving with my in-laws, with my wife Kelly's family, and I need to tell you guys why. Before I do, a little bit of context. Kelly comes from a family that is very traditional, very sentimental, very particular, very nostalgic. There is a way of doing things. Kelly's grandpa, Papa Otto, is a retired Swiss chef. So Thanksgiving is no joke. There is a way to do things and there's a way not to do things.
I feel like that's a very Swiss thing. Is like,
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Like we make watches.
Efficiency. Yeah.
We hide Nazi gold.
Yeah. It's all about process. It's all about hiding Nazi gold, which I'll get to.
Oh, can't wait.
So that is the Thanksgiving culture that I'm walking into. And we've already talked about our Thanksgiving culture a little bit. So this is a bit of context. 2 years ago. This starts 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we get the phone call 2 months prior to Thanksgiving, where Kelly's mom is formally inviting us to Thanksgiving, because this is a thing. You have to be invited.
So it's not just like default, like we birthed you, you get to come.
Well, you never know when your family might not want you to be at Thanksgiving. So Kelly's mom worked in customer service for American Airlines for years and years and years. So Kelly's mom's voicemails are like a work of art. So it goes something like this. Hi, Tyler and Kelly. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. We're so excited to spend time with you. We want to invite you to come up to our house. And, you know, we were talking and we would love it if you guys would bring the dessert. Now, I have to say, this is a big deal. Never once has Kelly and then by proxy myself been invited to contribute. So Kelly was very excited, took it very seriously. Pinterest recipes. We did like a day of trial baking where we tried out like 4 different pies. We're like, we are going to find the thing. So we do it. We get all the ingredients. We get everything set. We have everything like portioned out in like Ziplocs and Tupperware. And we're like, we are ready. We're going to show up. Like, we're taking this very seriously. So the big day shows up. We arrive at Kelly's parents' house and we walk in with our, you know, box of ingredients. And it becomes apparent very, very quickly that Kelly's parents are a little disturbed that the we didn't show up with the dessert ready.
We didn't invite you to prepare it here.
We didn't know you were going to use our kitchen.
Oh boy.
So we make the pies, goes great. Make a little mess, as one does when baking, but nothing that can't be fixed with a little Windex and paper towels. Everything went great, we thought. Fast forward a year later. We get the call the 2 months prior.
Save the dates.
We're excited to have you. You know, Tom, Kelly's dad, Tom and I were talking, and we're like, here it is, man. Like, we're getting promoted to, like, mashed potatoes or something. You know, we're going to come and, like, co-baste the turkey with Papa Otto. Tom and I were talking, and we thought it would be great if you guys brought a can of cranberry sauce.
Fully demoted.
So here's what we think happened.
Here, we think you are capable of going to Safeway. We think.
Our guess is that us making a pie in their, like, changing of the guard level, like, kitchen regiment, really, like, in the words of Emperor Cusco, threw off their groove. Yeah. And they were like, what's the most low-impact thing we can ask them to bring next year? So, can of cranberries. Kelly counter-offered. She squeezed a pie in there. So we're bringing cranberries and a pie.
The subtext of all this is, Kelly, can your dirtbag husband manage to not mess up a can of cranberry sauce?
We'll get there.
I'm sorry I called you a dirtbag husband, man.
It actually plays into the story pretty well.
I love it.
So, this is last Thanksgiving at this point. The day before, we're making our plans, and Cal's like, you know what? Oh, this is important to say. When she made the offer, and three or four times subsequently, what Kelly's mom said was, and it would be great if you could have everything prepared before you show up.
Oh, jeez.
And it was
a high pressure situation.
Enough times to not be a suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we know, okay, they want us to show up with this thing. Kelly, day before, is like, I want the pie to be fresh and everything. Here's what we'll do. My family, the rest of the family who's going to be there, is going to go out to brunch. Let's get there right when they leave for brunch. Let's make everything. Let's clean up and everything. And then when they get home, we'll be like, we just got here and everything's fresh somehow. And then we don't have to worry about it. Don't have to reheat, all that stuff. We're like, great, let's do it.
I bet everything's going to go according to plan.
And that's the end of the story. It went really so
good story.
The big day arrives. This is last year's Thanksgiving. We wake up. We realize we had one job. We did not get the cranberries. I don't know if you know this. Well, A, us showing up without the cranberries, not an option.
Yeah.
B, lots of grocery stores closed on Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
So we find, like, the one market that's open in San Francisco. We go. No cranberries. No cranberry sauce, I should say. They do have cranberries and sugar and all that stuff. So we're like, okay, we're going to get the cranberries.
We're going to make it.
From scratch. We had meticulously timed out. It's basically like Mission Impossible where he, like, lowers into the thing and he's got to, like, do everything, like, within the changing of the guard. Like, this is our very, like, succinct window that we have to operate in to get all this done. So we're, like, hauling up there. Kelly's parents live a few hours away. We're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to start on the cranberries. I'm going to, like, park the car and bring all this stuff in, and then, like, I'll start working on the pie, and we'll figure it out. So we get to Kelly's parents' house. I'm like, go, go, go. Kelly literally, like, runs inside with, like, the cranberry stuff. I park the car. I'm, like, taking bags in and out. I'm, like, sweating, and I go in and it's like, okay, cranberries are going on the stovetop. I'm like, all right, preheat the oven, 375. I'm going to start on the pie, whatever. 5 minutes go by. It's pie time. We're ready to put it in. I open the oven. Flames.
Oh,
this is what transpires over the next 30 seconds. We realize that inside the oven.
Oh, no.
Before we checked to preheat.
No.
Was a lot of the meal we were about to eat.
Oh, no.
Apparently, it's a thing that some families will just leave things in the oven if they're, like, out of counter space or whatever, and that you're supposed to check before you preheat.
Oh,
I didn't grow up in this kind of family.
So you preheated all the already prepared...
So, flames. Kelly turns around in a frenzy, sees... our eyes lock, and we have this, like, what are we going to do moment. Kelly instantly springs into action, goes underneath the sink, grabs the trash can, throws the contents of the trash can all over the kitchen... Put the trash can in the sink, fills it with water. I run to the sliding glass door, throw it open, open the window. Kelly throws his trash can full of water into the oven. Out of the oven is spewing, like, magma, like this volcano that's erupting into the ocean. Like, ash and, like, debris from these like cinnamon rolls and this bag of bread and adding insult to injury, two pies that they had bought from the store, assuming we were gonna mess it up, which we did. So Kelly throws, there's these like smoldering, wet, fiery pies that I pick up with like pot handle thingies. I run them outside, put them on the table. Like, as in the chaos, the cranberries are now, like, bubbling over on the stovetop, like, onto the counter, and it's melting onto, like, the glass thing. It's just, like, carnage. There's garbage everywhere. It looks like raccoons, like, had Burning Man in, like, Kelly's parents' kitchen. And in that moment, we look at, and Kelly's, like, already going to worst-case scenario. She's like, the house is going to burn down. I'm going to grab their dog and, like, their wedding photo album and just run for the hills and find a new family. In this moment, the garage door opens.
No!
This is all in a 30-second period. Kelly's family is home for brunch, and she looks at me like, we're gonna die. We are actually gonna be dead people.
That's it.
And so she's like,
Papa Otto, she's like, killing spree.
Go stall him. So stall I run him. Outside. Tom is like pulling into the driveway. Kelly grabs her mom. Is like, Mom, can you come into the kitchen? Like, they'll figure out something. So they go inside. I have no idea what they work out.
Yeah.
I'm basically being like a human shield, like blocking the car from going in the driveway. Like, hey, you guys, I'm so excited to see you. And they're getting out of the car one at a time. And I'm like bringing everyone in a group hug. Like, you too. Like taking a selfie with Papa Otto in front of the car, like, so I stall as long as I can. Eventually the family makes it in, and I have what I can only describe as the moment in Home Alone when Macaulay Culkin knocks like the sodas all over the pizza and all the like flight tickets and passports end up in the trash can, and the whole family just has this collective gaze at me, the newcomer.
And then they say,
didn't know,
look what you did, you little jerk.
And that's what I've been living with for the last year.
Oh my gosh,
Tyler. That was last Thanksgiving.
That was last Thanksgiving.
So in, you know, a matter of days, it's going to be the first Thanksgiving since that moment.
And well, can
first
I say,
off, were you guys invited this year?
Yeah.
Well, definitely haven't been asked to bring anything. If we got demoted from pie to cranberry sauce this year, they're going to ask us to bring like salt and pepper.
No, it's
going
to be like, Tyler, we would like to formally invite you to come to Thanksgiving and not crap your own pants.
Like, we'd like to formally invite you to wait in the driveway until everything is done. So that's what I'm living with, you guys. I'll have to report back and let you know how it goes.
I can't believe what a bad job you did.
Yeah. Well, what was crazy is in that moment, like, the greatest fear of her life come to fruition, which is, we are exactly what my parents thought we were.
Well, hey, that about does it for this episode of Hey Dad. Hey, a few things we want to have you do. Make sure you rate the podcast. Give it 5 stars. We know you want to. Review it. Share it with your friends. Also, head over to heydad.com. Sign up. There's a lot of great things going on. Kevin, tell us a little bit about next week's episode.
Guys, I am really excited and a little uncomfortable about next week's episode. Lola Bunny from Space Jam will be here to ask some very serious questions of the Madsen brothers about some confusing feelings they had watching Space Jam. All right, that's it for the Hey Dad podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Andy.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Derek.
Love you. Bye.